there's no need to fear. Underdog is here.
That's right, silly underdog picks. Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 1025, 1063, the game. We do it every Thursday at noon. It's presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket and Superbook Sports, voted number one sportsbook in Vegas. Download their app today. We say hello to the panel. Of course, I'm here. Derek's here. George Plaster, Chris Sanders, Kelly Holcomb, all here with us today. Gentlemen, how are we?
What up? Good.
Fantastic. George, have you talked to Matt Bushman about his handing the baseball back?
You know, I haven't, but that's a pretty honorable thing he did.
Well, we were just discussing it. I would be charging, but that's just me.
I absolutely would not be charging.
Okay, there you go.
Give me the money.
There you go. He would not.
Let's negotiate here.
Yeah, George says no. But all right. I like that. All right, Willie, we will turn things over to the commissioner because we got to get moving, and we will review. Willie, oh, Willie D,
Willie D. Ooh, oh, 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 Willie. Ladies and gentlemen, this is your commissioner speaking. Welcome
hey, hey, everybody, your commissioner speaking.
It's another week of the Silly Underdog Picks.
Oh,
fix.
My goodness.
Presented by Superbook Sports and Volunteer Hose and Gasket. Your commissioner is ready to recap week four. We'll give you the online numbers here in just a moment. But let's recap what's happened in our
First
competition.
First of all, Willie, whoop-de-doo that you're ready.
And, George, we are sitting in the exact same spot. You're not, but we are, where Kelly made the pick, the infamous pick of the game that was already underway. In one of the great moments in underdog history.
George is still
one of my finest hours. And that, you know, in lieu of winning, making a fool out of Kelly was awesome.
Kelly did win. As a sidebar, Kelly did win the competition that year. He was the eventual champion, so it ended up being a good thing.
That was his first championship, I believe.
That's a good one. I cannot verify that because he's won more than one, I believe.
Yeah. No, he's won once.
No, more than one, Chris.
Let the record show, he says. Okay.
Let the record show.
Congratulations to our online winner last week. It was in a tiebreaker. Ralph Williams, who resides in the borough, Murfreesboro, 33 points, and he took the tiebreaker over Russell McBay. So congratulations to Ralph. The most popular picks online in our competition is Rippin' and Warren, so keep playing every week on thegamenashville.com. You've got your choice when you win the weekly prize of a concert or a sporting event. Cliff McArdle from our promotions department will give you the choice and some of the options you have in each department. Florida, 31% of the audience had Florida as one of their three picks over Tennessee. And, of course, Florida didn't look at the two-point chart and maybe had a chance to get back in it, but Tennessee got the win. But 31% went down with the ship there. 21% went with Rutgers, a home dog against Iowa, and boy, they laid an egg. The Scarlet Knights under Greg Schiano did not play well whatsoever. So those two by far, well, actually, there was a close third. That was Wake Forest. 20% of the audience took the Deacons against Clemson. We'll get to that one in a moment. So let's go ahead and
review. Did anyone pick MTSU?
That's a really good question. Let's take a look. How many people had the Blue Raiders? I'm sure some people did. Eight people. Eight. Oh.
Nice.
Man, they got some big points for that
eight
one.
Eight people took middle. So
what was the spread for that one?
25 and a half, I think.
Ooh. Wow.
Yeah. I'm surprised Chris didn't pick that.
I kind of do.
That sounds like a Chris Sanders kind of pick.
Exactly. That's a Chris special right there.
What's wrong with you, Chris?
All right, let's find out who they did pick. George Plaster did take the ever-popular pick of Wake Forest. The Demon Deacons, a seven-point home dog against Clemson. Big, big crowd. Exciting game. Wake Forest is right in it the entire way. They torched Clemson defensively all day long. It went to double overtime, and Wake Forest failed on fourth down in the second overtime, and they go down 51-45. George, they had a shot. They had a really good shot.
They really did. You know, I'm not all that upset about it. I don't think it was a bad pick. I love what Wake Forest is doing. I don't pretend to know what this whole mesh thing does, but I'm convinced this guy Hartman may be the only person in the country that can run it, because he comes within an eyelash of getting his head taken off about 50% of the plays, and yet he lives to tell about it. I'm really impressed with him, and I'm impressed with them.
Yeah, the slow mesh is becoming the lingo, and more coaches, I'm sure, are looking around and go, what are they doing over there at Wake Forest? How do we do that? Because it works, no question. Derek Mason had the second pick, and he shocked everybody. He took a team that I believe nobody has ever picked in the underdog competition. This goes back to 1994. He took Fordham, a 17.5-point dog. Famous alum from Fordham, Vince Lombardi himself, who played for Fordham back in the day. He wasn't playing on Saturday, but Fordham goes to Ohio.
Well,
as
no
a,
crap, Willie.
You never know with the ghosts. Chase is very, very. You can tell who's in last place.
Exactly.
Fordham is a 17.5-point dog at Ohio.
Yes.
Now both. This is a absolute crazy offensive game, kind of like Clemson and Wake Forest. It's 53-52 Ohio. Late in the game, the quarterbacks have passed for over 1,000 yards. Fordham actually had the ball up 52-46 and a chance to go up by two scores, which maybe would have put the game away. Mm-hmm. They have some penalty problems. They had to punt it away. Ohio comes down and scores. It's 53-52. Still time for Fordham. They got a timeout left. They have decent field position. They get a holding penalty. And then the coach argues with the ref and gets an unsportsmanlike. They go back 25 yards, and that kills them, and they try one of these lateral plays, and Ohio scores
we
on the last play. 59-52 is the final. Fordham had it won. I was texting Derek and saying, Derek, you got it. They're going to win. I actually pulled it up on ESPN+.
The commissioner's jinx. That's what that was.
Exactly. Don't do that again, okay? Listen, I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I know these two teams in and out, because I don't. I just looked at it, and I felt that Fordham, based upon who they played against who Ohio played, I thought Fordham was just a better team. But like Jack Nicholas said, wait till they get a load of me next. Watch who I pick.
Oh my. Hey, Willie?
Yeah.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, George.
And this isn't meant to be smart, Alec. Is this tackle football?
Yes, it's tackle football.
George, it's two-hand touch. Two-hand touch.
After I was watching that game this week, Sienna.
Hey, I need to see if Sienna's playing.
Watching that game, I was ready to tender my resignation into the game.
I knew one person. If I had won that game, I knew Kelly was going to be so mad. Oh, he was just going
to
just going
to
quit.
About to call in and quit the game. Dude.
Kelly said he was on the verge of quitting if Fordham had won, but they did not. It was tight though. So 17.5 was in the palm of D. Mace's hand. Chris Sanders, who we know likes to go deep, he's leading. He came in with 47.5 points. He went with Colorado, 21.5-point dogs against UCLA, but this one flopped. UCLA goes to 4-0, 45-17 was the final, and Carl Durrell, the former offensive coordinator at Vanderbilt, former head coach at UCLA, he is on the hot seat.
Man, it was bad, man. I just turned it off the first 5 minutes of the game. But I got to go back to this Fordham thing, team.
Fordham.
Like aftershave lotion. Hey, give me some of that Fordham. I mean, but other than that, my game was whack. I'm good.
Yeah, not as much texting from Chris during Saturday's competition.
He
did have a better Sunday, which we'll get to in a moment. Chase McCabe takes a game. This was very interesting. Took Missouri, a 7-point dog at Auburn. At Auburn. Now, Auburn, they got the angry fans. They got embarrassed by Penn State the week before. The game is 14-14 late. Missouri drives down and has control of the game. All they've got to do is kill the clock, get the ball to the middle of the field, and kick about an extra 26 yards. 26 out comes a kicker who looks like Charlie Kerfeld from the Astros.
He's a fat kicker. They had a fat kicker. You can never trust a fat kicker.
And he missed. He missed for 26. But no problem. We go to overtime.
Uh-huh.
Auburn lines up for a field goal, and the guy misses it by, I kid you not, 30 yards.
Now y'all see why I don't like kickers.
He kicked it to Tuscaloosa.
He kicked it to Tuscaloosa. The problem was Missouri jumped offside. So he gets another shot at it. He makes it. No problem. That's Missouri's got it. No problem. We still got a chance with the ball. So their best running back breaks loose. He's gone. He's going in for the score.
It's done.
He's at the 1 yard line. He reaches the ball towards the pylon.
Which he didn't need to do.
And it slips. It goes right through the end zone. Auburn jumps on it as it goes to the back of the end zone. Game over. Auburn wins. It's like Auburn, everybody in the stadium was saying, please lose Auburn. Please lose so we can fire our coach. We'll get a new guy. We can move on. And Missouri's like, nope. That's okay. We want. Here's the game.
We
right
don't
want
to win.
So Chase, again, second week in a row losing in overtime in a game that your team had the game won.
As my good friend Rick says, overtime, where bets and silly underdog picks go to die.
that was stunning.
There you go.
That was stunning. That brings us to Kelly Holcomb, who's trying to get back into competition. He picked Texas Tech, 7-point dog at home against Texas. They love when Texas comes to town in Lubbock. They will go crazy. Everybody wants to beat the Longhorns. And yes, Texas Tech with the comeback wins in overtime, 37-34.
Woo-hoo, Kelly gets a point.
Gets it going.
Hey, all I'm going to say is this. Go Red Raiders. And another thing, I'm kind of disgruntled. I want to know if anybody else is disgruntled. I mean, we're all competitive guys. But I don't need the commissioner on the text messaging. I don't need that. We don't need you on the text messages. Like, you have no – all you do is just tell everybody you're doing what you do now. We don't need all that gibberish on Saturday. We don't need it. Leave it out.
Kelly's going to block Willie.
Yes.
He's going to block me. I think these are very entertaining texts. I think it's a great banter on the text chain. I think it's a good thing that the commissioner's doing. But, man, there's some bitterness from Kelly. Bitterness on the text.
But after the 33rd text, I'm with Kelly.
So,
well, yeah, we're probably clogging up the memory on George's iPhone 3. So, you know. That's probably the problem there.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, boy. Okay, on to Sunday quickly.
That wasn't a bad line.
Thank you.
Kelly had the first pick of the pro picks. He took the Jets, a 6-point home dog against the Bengals.
You can move on. Don't worry about it. Keep going.
Because the Jets did not show up. 27-12, Bengals get on the winning side. Chase took Miami, the Dolphins, with an impressive win. As a 5.5-point dog against the Bills, 21-19. The Bills didn't get it done late. Miami is undefeated. So, Chase, better to get the 5.5. Right
I'm there. Off the schneid.
Yeah, off the schneid. Still in the cellar, but
Oh, wow. Nice way to knock him back down, Willie.
Chris Sanders had the third pick. He took the Colts. 5.5-point dogs against the Chiefs. As the home dog, the desperate Colts got it done. They got a little help. The Chiefs goofed up everything in the special teams category you could. And the Colts got the final drive and won it, 20-17. So Chris adds to his lead with 5.5. D-Mace took the Jags, 7-point dogs on the road against the Chargers. Not only did they win, they crushed the Chargers, 38-10. It wasn't even close.
Jaguars are for real.
And then Plaz took the Commanders. And he really told everybody how much he loves Daniel Snyder when he made the pick. And they got whipped by the undefeated Eagles 24-8. So these are the standings at the end of 4 weeks. Chris Sanders, 4-3, 52.5 points. D-Mace, 4-3, 40.5 points.
Okay.
Third place, Kelly Holcomb, 3-4, 17 points. Plaz, 2-5, 12.5 points. And Chase, also 2-5. 11.5. So those are our standings after week four. When we come back, it'll be time to make the picks for week number five. D-Mace has got the leadoff spot, followed by Chris Sanders.
Let's go.
Chase McCabe, Kelly Holcomb in the four hole, And then Plaz has the wraparound pick, the final college pick, first pro pick. Stay tuned. You're listening to Silly Underdog Picks 2022, presented by Superbook Sports and Volunteer Hose and Gasket. Okay, it's time to make the picks for week number 5, Silly Underdogs 2022, brought to you by Superbook Sports and Volunteer Hose and Gasket. Forever Titan Chris Sanders in the lead, followed by his former teammate Derek Mason, Kelly Holcomb in third place, Plaz in fourth, Chase bringing up the rear.
We've already gone over this.
So let's go to D-Mace with pick number 1 from week 5.
Man. Grease lightning. I couldn't say the words, you know. All right. I am going with.
I thought you already had your
pick. I had it, but I looked at it wrong. But here's what I'm going with. I am going Purdue over Minnesota. Minnesota is a 12-point favorite in this game. I think they are.
It is. Is it 12? 11 points.
11?
On 11. The Superbook. 11 and a half.
All right. 11 and a half is what we're going with Superbook Sports. The Boilermakers playing on the road against undefeated and 21st-ranked Minnesota, a revenge game because D-Mace's Michigan State Spartans got thumped by the Gophers not long ago. So Purdue is the pick. So this week, Derek goes back to a Power 5 conference and not to Fordham. Or nobody else in the Yankee conference or whatever.
Well, I started to go with Texas State and James Madison. But then I'm like, nah, that's too much of a Chris pick. So
man, I don't know if we'd ever found that one.
Yes.
All right.
All right, moving on. Chris Sanders, the leader in the competition, has the second pick.
He's going to pick Missouri.
No.
Is it me you're looking for? No.
All right.
Here's my pick. This is what I was going to do. I kind of changed my mind the last minute. I was going to go with UConn because it's plus 24.
Oh, boy.
But I got to go with Boston College over Louisville.
I thought about that one, too. Oh, I thought about it.
There it is.
I thought about it so strong.
A Jared Stillman special. Boston College is a – well, let's see what we got. Superbook Sports. I have 15 and a half here. Let's verify.
I think it is.
I had it and I lost it. So,
Boston College at 1-3, hosting 2-2 Louisville.
Let's go.
In ACC competition, it's on the ACC network Saturday morning at 11.
At 10 o'clock. 10 a.m.
Can we verify 15 and a half?
I'm trying.
Okay.
16.
No, it's 15. Let's just say 15 for now, and we'll go back.
But who's
next?
Moving on.
15 and a half, yes.
15 and a half is official. All right, let's go to Chase McCabe, trying to move up from fifth place of 5.
Behold the king of kings. On your knees, dog.
So I'm sitting here going, all right, do I want to let Chris and D-Mace keep throwing downfield, and I just try and chip away? I think that is going to be my strategy. So that's what I'm going to stick with right now. I am going to take Wake Forest plus 7 against Florida State.
Ooh,
very interesting. Wake Forest at 3-1, ranked 22nd, taking on Florida State 4-0, ranked 23rd. Wake Forest, a 7-point dog. Are we surprised that that line is quite that big?
Yeah, I am.
I'm a little surprised. I think Wake Forest is very, very good. But going on the road, tough one. The Noles look like they're better at Bobby Bowden Field. All right, that brings us to Kelly Holcomb, who is moving up to third place, still a ways from the lead, needs points, and he's in the four hole.
We can scan a buck and run a trot line. survive. Country folks can survive. Country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
I done got me some moonshine for the weekend.
All right, Sanders, my hatred for you is only growing. It's only growing, my friend.
Well,
my first pick is obviously gone. So, you know what? I am going to say the South Florida Bulls beat the ECU Pirates.
Ooh. Mm. Ooh. Okay.
9.5.
There you go. South Florida is a 9.5-point home dog taking on the East Carolina Pirates. That's Saturday at 1:30 on ESPN+. The South Florida Bulls.
Interesting pick. I like
that. Very interesting pick. Okay, let's move on to Plaz, who's got back-to-back picks.
Hey, Willie.
Yes, Plaz.
Never in the history of this game has anybody sat in the five hole and had this easy a pick. Why is Kentucky an underdog? Wow. Go, Big Blue.
I had it.
This was discussed off air among the panel here.
Why are they the underdog?
Mm-hmm.
Crap. Why didn't I take that?
Kentucky is a 7-point dog on the road at Ole Miss. Both teams 4-0. Of course, this is at Vaught-Hemingway Stadium. But, yeah, 7. If they're not going to be favored,
7
is still pretty good points. So, Plaz has Kentucky.
Let me tell you this. It's time. This is a, you know, there's a lot of what does Vegas know that we don't know.
Oh, yeah.
I'm gonna tell you what. I will be stunned if Kentucky goes in there and lays an egg. I'm going to win this one.
Oh.
Is it?
Whoa.
Is it a?
It's a bucket?
You're damn right it is.
Yeah! There it is.
He did it. It's the first bucket of the season from Plaz, and it will be duly noted by the commissioner. Okay. Kentucky on the board. So, George, now you have the first pick in the NFL, the National Football League.
Yes, yes, I'm aware of what it stands for.
Oh, boy.
Willie, even though I don't totally believe in this one, I'm going to take the Titans. I think they got a chance to go to Indy and win, mostly because I don't think Indy's very good.
Well, the Titans are a 3.5-point dog.
Yeah, 4.
Oh, give him 4. Superbook Sports. Okay, yep. Move to 4. Titans on the road against the Colts, where they have won the last 3 meetings up there after going through a long drought.
Jim Irsay is angry about that.
Jim Irsay is not happy about that. That brings us to Kelly Holcomb for his pro pick.
Good pick, George. You know what? I'm going to say that they've got a couple of defensive linemen out, so I'm going to say the Miami Dolphins are staying on their win streak and beat the Cincinnati Bengals.
Ooh.
Tonight.
That game is tonight.
3.5.
The Dolphins, 3.5-point dogs in Cincy against the 1-2 Bengals, trying to get back into the race here. Dolphins, one of the big talks of the league right now, Tua and company, 3-0. All right, that brings us to Chase.
All right, well, it's still there. I thought this game would be gone by now. I'm going to take the Jags on the road.
No, Chase.
The Jags on the road plus 6.5 against the Eagles.
No.
The Jaguars, 2-1 at Eagles. Two teams that are in that mode right now. Wow, they're a lot better than we thought, or at least it looks like it. Jags, 6.5-point dogs coming off of their big win against the Chargers. All right, that brings us to the Forever Titan, Chris Sanders.
I am going to go with the Texans over the Rams. Not the Rams, but who it is?
Chargers.
Chargers.
One of those LA teams.
Plus 5.
Busters. I call them Busters, yeah.
Texans are 5-point
dogs. They are a struggling team, man. They are struggling right now.
Okay, the Texans, 5. against the Chargers. Chargers, yeah. What's going on with them? All right, and that brings us to D-Mace for the final pick.
Man, I was like Florida Evans over here when you made that pick. Damn. Man. I'm like, gosh. But, heck, we had talked about him so much. So, you know, hey. I'm going with the Ravens over the Bills. They play in M&T Bank Stadium. The Bills got some. They got some injuries. So, I think you got the battle of the front runners in the MVP right now, Lamar and Josh.
All right, Superbook Sports Rep. Do we have officially 3 points on that one?
That is correct.
Okay. All right. Let's recap. We've got the picks in. Week 5, Silly Underdog Competition 2022, brought to you by Superbook Sports and Volunteer Hose and Gasket. Derek Mason, right now in second place, has Purdue, an 11.5-point dog on the road at undefeated and 21st-ranked Minnesota. Chris Sanders, the leader in the competition, selects the Boston College Eagles, 15.5-point home dogs against the Louisville Cardinals. Chase McCabe, stymied the last couple weeks in overtime. Frustrating picks. Trying to move up out of the cellar. Selects Wake Forest, a 7-point dog on the road at Florida State. 2 ranked teams out of the ACC. Kelly Holcomb goes into the American Conference and goes with the South Florida Bulls. Down in Tampa, a 9.5-point home dog against East Carolina. Plaz, in his first bucket of the season, says the wrong team is favored. Yeah. The 7th-ranked, undefeated Kentucky Wildcats
are a 7-point
dog against Lane Kiffin and the Ole Miss Rebels playing at home, also 4-0. Plaz comes back around and takes the Titans, 4-point dogs on the road at Indy against the Colts, huge division game in the AFC South. Kelly Holcomb, with his pro pick, goes with the undefeated Dolphins, 3.5 points, an underdog in Cincinnati against the Bengals, defending AFC champs. Then Chase McCabe takes the Jaguars, much to the chagrin of his co-host, Derek Mason, who went nuts when he took them. Jacksonville, 6.5 points, the underdog in Philly against the undefeated Eagles. Chris Sanders then goes with the Houston Texans, a 5-point home dog, taking on the Chargers, who just got drubbed by the Jags last week. And then finally, Derek Mason takes one of his former teams, the Ravens, a 3-point home dog against the Buffalo Bills, who are trying to bounce back from that tough loss down in Miami. Remember, you can play with us by going on thegamenashville.com, and you make 3 picks, college or pro, your choice. Just make the picks before Saturday at kickoff. Those are our picks for week number 5. And, gentlemen, good luck.
Yeah, go Braves.
Go Braves.
Willie, stay off texting this weekend.
Okay. I can't promise anything. I'm having too much fun.
All right, guys. Have a good week.
Appreciate you guys. Take care.
Yep.
See ya.
George Plaster, Chris Sanders, Kelly Holcomb joining us for Silly Underdog Picks presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket and Superbook Sports. We will come back and discuss something that I heard on the morning show earlier today on Robbie and Rex Road about a team being more popular than the Titans. We'll discuss that coming up next. 102.5, 106.3 The Game. But Willie, tell us about Loan Pronto.
All right, let's talk Loan Pronto. They are wanting to help you right now deal with the financial times that we're in. And right now, if you are a homeowner, one of the best things you've got going for you is your home's value is way up. So if you're looking for cash and you need it to address something, maybe it's a home improvement project, maybe it's just to pay off credit card bills, maybe something else for you. They have ways of doing that. One of them is something that we did for our financial needs. It's called the HELOC, a home equity line of credit. And so with your home's value up, you're sitting on a pile of money. So don't let it sit there. Use it, just like I did. I called Loan Pronto, 615-499-5780. I worked with Roger Moore. He's got a lot of people that he can help you with as well. They talked me through the process. They told me about the strategy and how the whole process works. It's all digital. And I never had to go meet with anybody or drive anywhere or bring paperwork anywhere. It was a very, very smooth process. And just in a couple of weeks, we had our HELOC locked and ready to go and ready to help us. Loan Pronto makes unlocking that equity easy, and they can probably even waive the appraisal. 615 1-800-499-5780 or loanpronto.com. Equal housing lender, NMLS 166-1781, subject to lender approval.
Chase Willie and D. Mace, 1025-1063, the game. Chase McKay, Willie Donick, Derek Mason with you. We're at Jack Daniels Barrel House at Bridgestone Arena. It is Predators game day. That's brought to you by Social Furniture. Shop today and get rewarded with social cash back by $1,000. Get $125 cash back on your Social Furniture gift card. Shop local, shop social in West Nashville. Appreciate them being part of our Preds game day coverage this year. I wanted to get into this, and we're a little behind because it's Silly Underdog Pick, so we'll get back on track. But Robbie and Rex Road were having a discussion this morning. We'll hear what they said, and then we'll give our thoughts coming up. But this was the discussion: are the Vols more popular than the Tennessee Titans?
Look, I do think this is a pro sports town. Okay,
yes,
like that's what happened. You a bigger city, you get to you have pro teams. And we do, I mean, we do talk Titans way more than Vols, and we talk Preds through the year. We talk Preds quite a bit, right? I mean, quite a bit more than Vols, I would say.
Yeah.
It's a tough one because that said, I still feel like, and again, I said this on the text line to somebody. I think if you're able to consider Nashville, like the mid-state area or greater Nashville, if you can expand it some, then I still think you might count up more Vols fans than Titans fans. Maybe I'm wrong. If you go strictly Nashville proper, then you know, then I think it's easier to say there's more Titans fans. I mean, I'd love to somehow have this tallied up. Now, you know, I don't think there's any comparison in size of fan base, right? I mean, we should all be able to agree on that. When you have a huge public university, especially and with this kind of tradition and everything, you're just churning out, like, you have a huge fan base all over the world that I would say dwarfs the Titans fan base. Would you agree with that?
Well, yeah, and I'd also add to that and say if you extend this conversation to the state as a whole, I don't think it's overly close.
That's not close.
There you go. Robbie and Rex wrote this morning discussing the Vols fan base basically being bigger than the Titans fan base. You guys hear that? Mm-hmm. What do you think?
I look at it differently. But just for time's sake, I'm just going to say and then elaborate.
Yeah, we can
later. Yeah, I'm just going to say I think that the enthusiasm for the Titans are in this area. I think it overshadows the enthusiasm for the Vols just in this area. I'm not talking Knoxville and the surround. I'm just talking this area, Nashville, Franklin, Brentwood. You know, the surrounding area,
Nashville.
Period. Nashville.
I think it's interesting to think back and hear Joe's perspective because you know he's still relatively new to the area, so he's got a unique perspective on what he sees. I go back a little further. I didn't grow up here, but when I came to college in 89 to Vanderbilt and then started doing sports talk in 93, this was years before we had the Titans or the Predators. So back then, it was all SEC. It was all Tennessee, Vanderbilt, and on down the line. The SEC was the central thing that you would talk about and then branch out to the rest of the national picture in college football. We didn't even talk NFL. That much. Like, it was hard to get a discussion going on the NFL unless you were talking about big playoff games or something like that. So it was very, very different. So it has evolved a lot. One thing that they touched on this morning I thought was a good discussion was so many people have moved to Nashville in the last, let's just take 5 years. Now, in the last 5 years, if you move from your hometown, let's just say you move from Chicago. Mm-hmm. If you wanted to stay with all of your teams, let's say you're an Illinois fan and a Bears fan and a Cubs fan, all you got to do is pay a little extra, and you can continue to get the same media coverage and the same games. You can watch all the same games you've always watched. Whereas when the Titans first got here, you were kind of stuck watching them. You were getting them every week, whether you liked it or not, and you were going to hear all the talk on sports talk about them. You were going to hear all the talk about the ACC. So if you were a transplant, it was harder for you to keep your ties to your roots. Mm-hmm. Now it's a lot easier to stay with your roots. So I do think that affects how much is going on. So I think the Titans are the dominant force right now for all those different reasons. And Tennessee is just, I think people are just as interested as they've always been, the same people that always have. It's an enormous following. It's just covered in a different way than it used to be.
So we will take your calls, your text, 615-737-1025. Do you believe that the Vols are more popular in this area than the pro team, the Tennessee Titans? 615-737-1025. We will do that coming up next. But can you beat Vegas this football season? Superbook Sports gives you the chance every week to go head-to-head with the best odds makers in Las Vegas. There's no fancy computer algorithms, no guys across the pond setting lines for American sports. It's just the best team of odds makers in the business behind the counter at the Superbook in Las Vegas. I tell you what, I like Kentucky +7. I'm mad at myself for not taking it in underdogs. George got it, but I like Kentucky +7 on the road at Ole Miss. That is a very good pick this week. Plus, Superbook features some of the best odds boosts and promo bets anywhere. So download the Superbook Sports app, or you can visit superbook.com and start your battle against Vegas right now. Do like I do. Make them your official sports book. They are my official sports book. You can visit superbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Chase Willie and D-Mace, 1025-1063, The Game. We'll join Big Joe Dubin and Elijah Campbell tomorrow for the Apple Collision Center's Game Blitz, presented by National Playmakers Academy from 6 to midnight. They'll preview, actually it'll be more like 8:30 to midnight. They'll preview the big games and then take you through the night of high school football around the mid-state. It's the Apple Collision Center's Game Blitz, presented by National Playmakers Academy at 1025-1063, The Game. Chase McKay, Willie Donick, Derek Mason with you. We're live at Bridgestone Arena in the Jack Daniels Barrel House and discussing, do you believe the Vols are more popular than the Tennessee Titans? 615-737-1025.
And this is not based on any study that's been done, right?
No, they were just asking the question.
I thought it was a good discussion that they had. Yeah. Uh-huh. Andy texts in and just says, roll Tide. So.
See? That's what I was just discussing during a break. And listen. It's different. NFL fans and college fans are totally different. You know, if you have an Alabama fan that moves to Tennessee or moves to Nashville, there's no way in heck he's going to cheer for, he or she or his family or their family is going to cheer for UT. Just like UT fans that may move here, they're not going to cheer for, or they may move to Alabama. They are not going to cheer for Alabama just because they live there. They still have allegiance to their team.
No question. And this is something that when the Titans arrived, they were the Oilers at the time, when they were selling PSLs originally, that was one of the things they marketed. Hey, look, all of you Alabama fans and you LSU fans and Vanderbilt fans and all of you that live in Nashville that root for different teams on Saturday, let's all bond together and let's root for our team here.
Exactly.
That was the idea. So I still think that's the case. I think that's way more in terms of the numbers. The Titans are way more popular. Plus, the NFL has just even grown in popularity since then. In the last, it's massive. So to me, it's really not close. But I don't think the Vols have lost any fans. I think it's different how people follow their teams with podcasts and all the different ways you can get your information on teams, and people may be a little less inclined to drive to Knoxville every week for a game. Maybe they did a generation ago, but now they go less. They still care just as much.
But they watch from home.
They watch from home a little bit more.
The way I look at it from this standpoint, Chase, because I think there will always just be, at least in this area, the area that we're in, they're always going to be, the Titan fans were out. They will always have more excitement for the Titans than they probably do for the Vols, just in this area. Now, if you're talking about the whole state, then it's a different story. Like Rex Road and Robbie said, it's a different story. I think it's overwhelmingly UT, but just in this area. Because we all grew up in the sport together, meaning this. My first year was 97 with the team. the first time that this city has ever had a NFL team was 90. Well, it ended up being 99, but I'm saying we moved here in 97. So we all sort of grew up in this league together. So we all have this allegiance to this team, to this one team. Because this is all we know. This is all we. Even the people that are moving here from other cities, they don't mind rooting for the Tigers, especially the last 5 years, because they've been winning. They're still going to root for their team, but they're also going to root for the Titans as well. They've seen how the city has grown because of the Titans. Yeah. Just imagine this city without the Tennessee Titans. It wouldn't be what it is without the Titans or the Predators. No doubt. Two professional teams.
It's changed the whole outlook.
It changed it tremendously. This city is not growing the way it's growing without the Predators and the Titans. We all know that. And we all sort of grew up in it together, whether it be hockey or NFL. So you're going to have a stronger and tighter allegiance to that team, and excitement's going to be a little bit more. If the Preds are on a Stanley Cup run, the excitement from everybody is there. When the Titans are on a Super Bowl run, everybody is excited about the Titans. It's not, you don't have that group that's saying, I don't like the Titans. No. But you have that in college football. If the Vols are doing great, there's probably about 30,000 or 20,000 Alabama fans like, oh, they still suck. They're horrible. They're going to lose to us. But you don't have that with the Titans.
One point that Joe Rexroth made this morning I thought was a good point is in Vanderbilt's situation, where they have alumni scattered all around the nation, they've got some here, but really not enough to sustain and really do what you need as a fan base. And it should be automatic. Like, you need to market to your alumni. And
but they have
the
no history.
Fans. Well, the history isn't great for football.
Yeah, that's what
right?
I'm saying. I'm saying the football isn't great.
Over the years, the fans of just Nashville have eroded because they're going to the Predator games and the Titans games and now the soccer. Mm-hmm. So it's making it hard. But Joe said, like, I think it's an interesting marketing strategy would be all the people that have moved here, how can I get some of the people to adopt Vanderbilt as my second team? Like, I might be a fan of Kansas or right. Illinois or, you know, somewhere up north like Pitt. But if you've moved here, hey, we got great college football here. How about adopting Vanderbilt as your second team?
It's who you
team?
Hire.
Yeah.
It's who you hire as head coach. Because I think
you got to have an attractive team.
You
got to
have an attractive
watch.
Team. But I think a lot of people bought in. You know, they made sort of the second team with James Franklin was here. Oh, so the Bandy's my second team now because they're doing some good things,
and
exciting.
He created a little bit of that excitement.
That buzz on the Derek Mason, and then hopefully on the Coach Lee you adopt Vandy as your second team.
A couple of texts to read real quick. Kyle says it's anecdotal. However, living in Brentwood, I rarely see Vols gear, stickers, flags, etc. I see Titans flags and gear daily. I think in Middle Tennessee, especially Nashville, there's a collection of SEC, Big Ten, and ACC alumni. And with that, go green.
Go white. See, we everywhere, Willie.
Yeah.
We everywhere.
Well, look, I saw the first few years of Predators Red Wings games here. Uh-huh. So you knew how many Michigan transplants. There's a lot of them that have moved down from that area. Chicago's the same way. Mm-hmm. There's a lot that have moved down here. They're there. And so that was part of the Predators had a promotion. You may remember this when you were a kid, Chase, but you could turn in your Red Wings gear and get some Predator gear, and they would have this fun ceremony. We've converted. You've officially been converted to a Predator fan.
Well, I remember that, and I remember I was in high school and did a job shadow at Channel 4 with Terry Bulger, and we did a story on Nash, who was camping out on the needle on top of the arena. And he was going to stay up there until they sold out, and it was the first ever sellout of a game against the Red Wings outside of opening night. I think the inaugural game was a sellout. But
interesting.
Yeah. So, look, we're going to continue this conversation. We have Adam Sparks coming up from the Knoxville News Sentinel. He covers the Vols. He'd be great to ask this question to because he's lived in this area as well. We'll do that next, and then we'll get back into this and take your calls and texts at 615-737-1025. It's Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 1025-1063, The Game.